Welcome to our program. Now today I'm going to be preaching from Hebrews chapter 11. This chapter is normally called the Hall of Faith because it is a listing of Old Testament believers, many of them famous, who were examples of saving faith. I've entitled this message today, The Nature of Faith. I've been talking about that quite a bit here through the book of Hebrews. Saving faith. Faith of Scripture, the faith that is the gift of God. Faith always has an object. And the value of faith, that grace of the Spirit, which is the gift of God, is always measured and determined by its object. For example, somebody says, well, I believe, but how much do you have to believe? We see the question of saving faith is not how much faith you have. It is in whom is your faith. In whom do you believe? Somebody said, well, do I believe enough? Well, enough for what? If we're saying, well, do I believe enough in order for faith itself to be my ground of salvation? The answer is no. Faith itself is not the ground of salvation. You see, faith looks to Christ, who alone is our ground of salvation. I've quoted that hymn quite a bit. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. You see, Christ is the rock of the church. It's not our faith. It's Christ. And our faith is in Him if we believe the gospel. So faith and its object can never be separated. And in fact, you can pretty much read the scripture that way. We look back in Hebrews 10 and verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. That means those who are justified by the grace of God, saved by His grace, and I said it last week, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness, they live eternally by looking to Christ. Christ saves them, Christ keeps them and preserves them, and Christ will bring them to glory. Now here in Hebrews chapter 11, he begins this hall of faith with a definition of faith. And he says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now that word substance, faith is the substance. That means the ground or the confidence, the foundation. Faith is the ground or the confidence of things hoped for. And then that word evidence is just what it means. It's evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we who know Christ, we believe in things that we haven't actually seen yet. We walk not by sight, the scripture says, but by faith. One day we will see some of these things. John wrote that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Or in 1 John chapter 3. But we shall see Christ. We'll see Him as He is. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. But this faith here has to do with Christ, His person, who He is, what He accomplished, why He did it, and where He is now. Who is He? He's the God-man mediator. He's the Son of God incarnate. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's the mediator, surety, the prophet, the priest, the king. He's the redeemer. He's the Savior of sinners. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham. He's the tabernacle in the wilderness. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and He's the Passover Lamb. He's the rock from which Moses got water when he struck the rock. All of those types and pictures of the Old Testament pictured and typified the person and work, the finished work of Christ. So here's what he's saying. Faith, Christ, is the ground and confidence of things hoped for. What is it we hope for? We who seek salvation, we who know Christ, our hope is final glory in heaven through Christ. It's not just, now listen to me, and this is very important. Our hope is not simply final glory in heaven, not just to get to heaven. But our hope is final glory in heaven through Christ. And He is the ground or the confidence of what I hope for. I hope to go to heaven. Well, what ground or confidence do I have for that hope? Christ. He already washed away all my sins. On the cross of Calvary, 2,000 years ago, my sins were charged to Him. And He paid my debt in full. He satisfied God's law of justice for my sins. In order to enter heaven, I need a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. Christ worked it out 2,000 years ago on the cross and imputed it to me. You see, in Christ, I have everything I need in order to be saved, kept, preserved, and to go to heaven. In Him. He's my all in all. The Bible says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. So I'm to see my complete salvation in Christ. And so Christ is the substance of my hope. He's the ground or the confidence of what I hope for. And so I look to Him. My faith is in Him. I believe in Him. And listen to me. When Christ satisfied law and justice, when He paid my debt, He died, He was buried, He arose again the third day. You see, He arose again for my justification. And then He ascended unto the Father and is seated at the right hand of the Father above, making intercession for me and for all who are in Him. He is our advocate. And the fact that He's there means that we'll be there, all who know Him. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Christ is. And then next, the evidence of things not seen. How do I know that these things that I don't see with the physical eye are a reality? Because Christ came in history. And He obeyed the law perfectly. He went to the cross of Calvary. He suffered, bled, and died for my sins. He was buried. He arose again the third day and ascended unto the Father. There were eyewitnesses to that historical fact. And He's seated in the heavenlies. And He sent His Spirit into the hearts of His people to give them the new birth. So that, and the Spirit is the earnest of their inheritance. The Spirit is the down payment, in other words, of the inheritance that we'll receive. So that, and the Spirit points sinners to Christ. So that Christ is the evidence of things that we don't see with the physical eye. We walk by faith and not by sight. I know that God is for me because I'm in Christ. The Bible says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. And who can condemn us? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, and is seated at the right hand of the Father above the throne of God." Now, verse 2 of Hebrews 11 says this. Now there's the definition of faith. Faith is the substance and the evidence, you see. Christ is. And it says in verse 2, "For by it, by faith, or by looking to Christ, the elders obtained a good report." Now, what is this good report? That is a good report to God. A good report from God. Now, if you look back in the Old Testament, and many of the ones that are listed here in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11, you'll see all kinds of things written about these men. It's going to talk about Abel, Enoch. It's going to talk about Noah and Abraham. And it's going to talk about David and others. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and others. And if you'll read the Old Testament history on these men, you'll find out that they had what we, from the human point of view, they had good points, but then they had bad points too. They had flaws. They were not perfect men. They were men of strong character and then men of weak character. They had moments of strength, moments of weakness. But here's the bottom line on the whole thing. Every one of them were sinners saved by the grace of God. There's not one of them, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, there's not one of them who could attain salvation or maintain it by their good report, by their good works, by their reputation, by their perseverance. They were sinners, sinners saved by the grace of God. They were saved just like sinners today are saved. If you're saved, it's based on the blood and righteousness of Christ. It's by the grace of God. The Bible speaks of Abraham as the example of how God justifies who? Those who deserve it? No. God justifies the ungodly. You see, Abraham, just like me and you by nature, he's an ungodly man. And God chose him and redeemed him by the blood of Christ, which Abraham looked to by promise in the future. So by it, by faith, by looking to Christ, the elders obtained a good report. Their good report was not their accomplishment or their works or their reputation. Their good report was that they were sinners saved by the grace of God in Christ. They were mercy beggars in Christ. That's their good report. They were men of faith. They looked not to themselves for salvation, not to each other, but they looked to Christ, who was promised by God in the Old Testament and pictured and typified. So how, listen to me, how, in order to get to heaven, you must have a good report. And that report must be on the law books of God's books. Your sins must be wiped clean. That's the only way. And you must have in place of that a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. Now, how are you going to obtain that? You say, well, preacher, I'm going to work hard to do it. Won't be good enough. You say, I'm going to do my best to keep the Ten Commandments. You'll fall short. Well, I'm going to just muster up how much faith I can have. You won't have enough faith. What are you going to do to obtain a good report? I'll tell you what you do. Look to Christ. Rest in Him. Submit to His blood and His righteousness as that which alone saves you and entitles you to glory. And that's what he means. By faith, by looking to Christ, the elders obtained a good report. Now look at verse 3. He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, that verse there is very interesting. First of all, it kills the doctrine of evolution, the teaching of evolution. Here's what he's saying. By faith, we understand that God made the worlds. God created the world. In beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the creator. And the Bible tells us that it's through faith we understand that. We understand it because God tells it, and we understand it through Christ. In other words, by looking to Christ, we also understand the reality of creation. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in the beginning all things were created by God. And without this Word, without Christ, there was nothing that was created that was created. In other words, Christ is the Creator. He has the preeminence in all things. And it's by looking to Him that I understand that God created this world for a purpose, for His own glory, in the salvation of sinners through Christ. And I understand that when I look at the physical universe, that I don't conclude that this part of the physical universe evolved out of this. It was created by God. What we see when we look at the mountains, when we look at the stars, when we look at ourselves, David's the human body. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You think about the greatness and the miracles of the human body and life itself. What should we conclude from that? That it evolved here over millions of years of evolution? No, that God created it. There's a prime mover. There's a wisdom behind all this, an intelligence, not just some mystical intent, but God Himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He created the world. And we know that, and the reality of it, and the glory of it, by looking to Christ. Now, he goes on, and he begins to list some of these Old Testament saints. And it's interesting, because the first one he mentions is Abel. Now, you know the story of Cain and Abel over in Genesis chapter 4. The Bible teaches that this world was created by God, and it was created in good, and that God created man, and He made woman out of man, and they were good. They were put in the Garden of Eden. They were given dominion over the world, and then Satan came into the garden, and he deceived Eve, and he tempted Adam, and Adam fell in Satan. He took sides with Satan against God. And when Adam fell as the representative of the whole human race, we fell, the scripture says. Romans 5:12, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men for that all sin in Adam. For as by one man, you see, and Adam fell and brought the human race under condemnation. Well, God immediately after that, when he was pronouncing the curse upon Satan, he made mention of the seed of woman, who is Christ, and his purpose to redeem his people out of Adam's fallen race through the blood of a substitute. You remember Adam and Eve took fig leaf aprons and they sewed them together and made clothes for themselves, trying to hide their nakedness. They were exposed to the wrath of God. They were under the curse. They were condemned. And those fig leaf aprons are symbolic of man's efforts to cover himself and hide himself and save himself. And it wouldn't work. So God came down in the person of the Son of God, Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And you remember what he did in Genesis chapter 3? He slew animals. He shed blood and made them coats of skin. And I believe right then and there he was establishing the sacrificial system, showing that the only way a sinner, a condemned sinner, can have communion with God is to be redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. That animal typified Christ. His blood shed for the sins of his people, and the coats of skin typified his righteousness, which covers them. That's justification. Now, that sacrificial system was instituted right then and there, and Adam taught it to both boys, Cain and Abel. But you know what? Cain rejected it. And he chose his own way. He rejected the gospel of the blood of the Lamb, the grace of God, salvation by the blood, and the righteousness of Christ, whom the Lamb typified. And Cain was a farmer. He worked in the field. He worked hard. And he brought his crop, that which he worked for so hard, the best that he had, he brought his crop to God and offered it to God. But you see, the best works of the best of men will not remove sin. The best works of the best of men will not make us righteous before God. It takes the blood of the Lamb, and that Lamb is Christ. And that's what he's talking about here in Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Look here. He says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, the difference here is their sacrifice. And by which Abel obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Here's Cain and Abel. And as I said, Cain bringing the works of his hands, the works of the field. But now Abel brought that which God had provided, the blood of a lamb, and he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why was it more excellent than Cain's? Because in Cain's sacrifice, there was no blood. Sin demands death. There, without the shedding of blood, the book of Hebrews tells us, there is no remission, no forgiveness, no pardon of sin. There must be blood. Law and justice has to be satisfied. God must be just when he justifies the ungodly. He must be holy and righteous and truthful. He must be a righteous judge as well as a loving, merciful Father. How can he be both? Not based on the works of my hands. But he can only be both based on the blood of Christ. And that's what Abel's blood animal sacrifice typified, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel, by bringing the blood of the animal, he was looking to Christ. Abel didn't know that the blood of an animal couldn't remove sin, but that blood typified and symbolized a greater one to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why John the Baptist, when he came into the world in his public ministry, and Christ came into the world, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. You see there, Christ is our Lamb. The reason we don't sacrifice animals today is that system's over. Christ has come. He's already shed his blood, and there's no need for the types But now back in Abel's time, they were needed. And they pointed sinners to Christ. So it says, by faith, by looking to Christ, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain didn't look to Christ. He didn't look by faith. He rejected Christ, but Abel did. And is in Christ. Now look at this. It is by Christ, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel's righteousness was in Christ. Wasn't in Abel himself. Abel had no works. Listen, if Abel was righteous in himself, he wouldn't have needed to bring the blood of sacrifice. Do you realize that? If you can be made righteous in yourself by your works and your efforts to keep the law, you don't need Christ. You don't need the grace of God. You're okay. But Abel was a sinner, and he needed a sacrifice, just like me. And he brought the blood of the Lamb. And God testifying of his gifts. When God received Abel's sacrifice, God made a testimony there of what he had given Abel. His gifts. This is the gift of God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says, and by it, by this sacrifice, Abel, though he's dead, he speaks. We look back on it, and Abel's still preaching today, because the same gospel of God's grace is being preached. Now, the next one he uses is Enoch. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Enoch in the Old Testament. It's shown here in Genesis chapter 5 about Enoch that he walked this earth. He didn't live very long, and God took him. And it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Enoch was an unusual situation. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated. That word translated means that he didn't suffer the pain of physical death like most of us do, but he was just translated. He was changed by God. He was taken by God. And back then, God did that to Enoch, and it says, by faith, Enoch. That is, by looking to Christ again. Enoch had faith in Christ, and here was Enoch's testimony that he pleased God. But look at verse 6. Now here's the key. How did Enoch please God? Well, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now that means this. It means without looking to Christ and resting in him and trusting him, it is absolutely impossible to please God. Listen, you want to please God? Well, you can do your best to work. You can go to church. You can give your tithe. You can get baptized. You can do all kinds of work. But you cannot please God without looking to Christ. The Lord said that. God said that. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. My friend, without faith, without looking to Christ and resting him, it's impossible to please God. And he goes on, he says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. First of all, if you come to God, you must believe that God is. Now that means more than simply saying God exists. There's a lot of people who believe there is a God. The Bible says the demons in hell, the devils in hell, believe there is a God and tremble. It means if you come to God and receive salvation, you must believe that he is as he reveals himself, as he says he is, not as you think him to be. Well, how can you know that? How can you come to God as he reveals himself? He reveals himself through Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ said, he said it, he said, no man knoweth the Son save the Father, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Philip told him one time, he asked him one time, he said, show us the Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to come to God as he is in himself, come to Christ. And then you must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently